And welcome to an episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
That you do not mess with a great song like that. And once again, Team Popular lose. Overwhelmingly Popular loses, and of course, the other two gain the victories.
That's great.
I mean, if there's any solace about this thing, is that it that star almost approached at 69%. So that was my only nice solace. But darn it, we lost.
So you're telling me that you were happy Star had 69?
It would have been funny, though. I'm glad they came up short because they didn't deserve that joy.
Yeah, and we shall gloat later. Tellius Tyler.
Of course.
No, that was your cue to introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah, well, I sort of already did. But I just like to imagine, too, when Will hit play, he had like a plan. He had a game plan in mind. And then the song, whatever it was, by the way, I have no idea.
No idea.
You did not recognize that song, which has been on the internet for nearly 2 months or so.
No. Well, that the quality wasn't the best. It was honestly cutting out in and out a little bit. So and then you tried to sing. Emphasis on tried. So yeah.
I just can't believe you two don't even recognize the online meme that is Bakabi Tai. Jeez, uncultured swine. The poop.
Was that words, Tyler? I don't know.
I think that I could make out syllables, sort of.
Yeah. I mean,
you uncultured swine. The two of you.
I heard like Baku something, and so I'm like Baku go, Baku gone.
Boku wa Makanai, as Marth used to say in Melee. That was a classic taunt. Yeah.
Domarigato. Yeah,
uncultured Pete. Uncultured host, you too.
Yeah. Wine all you want. Anyway, we have an interesting show for you today, including a very executive main event. But of course, we're going to all start off with what have you been playing? And Will, since you're now in such a snippy mood and us uncultured swine, why don't you reveal what your quote cultured playing has been the last week?
Overall, it has been quiet as we have gone through the Splatfest, and I'm just surprised that the rate of 100 times Splatfest actually came up as it is, because as I posted on Twitter, I actually won my second 100 times Splatfest match, which, again, who knows when that will ever happen until the next Splatoon game or the next Splatfest, which supposedly we're supposed to have one more Splatfest, like sometime in March, last I checked, before the anniversary. So here's hoping that we get one more Splatfest to hopefully I can redeem myself. So there's that. And also, naturally, been keeping up with Ring Fit Adventure, working on the weekends, and finally actually reached to the point of working out for 50 minutes straight. And yes, pain. It's nothing but pain. So there's that. And of course, naturally, is the Fae banner, which of course, somebody here does not like the culture of the Plagia, even though it is a canon culture. So, it is canon in Awakening. Get over it. And yeah, overall, the new banner of Fire Emblem Heroes is out. And yeah, I'm just glad that.
Big week for Will.
RNG gods have been good.
Yeah, it's a big week for Will.
The RNG gods have been good. I mean, I got Raphael, yes. I mean, what the heck? For gender equality, yes, Evil gotta go get that Deep King Bada. So, yes, why not Raphael? And apparently, a lot of people want Raphael's bow, so. Good for me as well. And of course, naturally, I got the duel here of Dorothea and Lean. So, yay, Dorothea! So, there's that. So, and now I'm just trying to pull for naturally Tarja, which continues to elude me, but why not? And of course, naturally, we got to get ready for the next Mythic banner, which is coming up, I believe, on the 27th. So, not too long until the next Mythic banner. So, there's that. So, overall, while I have indeed lost the Splatfest, at least I have won with the RNG gods. So, silver lining there.
Tyler.
So I have been playing Eichenfell, two games. Eichenfell is the first one. So I have this goal, and I want to play an RPG every month on Switch. And but I ran out of time in January because it got late, so I didn't have time for a big game. So I picked this indie game because I think Brian Altano at IGN had put a tweet out about it that somehow stayed in my mind about it being a really cool, like, Mario and Luigi style title. And it's really good. I really, really enjoy it. It's a... there's a better touchstone or touch point than Fire Emblem, but it's sort of like Fire Emblem meets Super Mario RPG, because you move your characters along a grid, but it's only like three rows and it's the same size grid every time. And you like to deal bonus damage by pressing A at the right time and like action command sort of deal. But basically the premise is you are this girl, you're looking for your sister who is in this Hogwarts-like magic school, and she's gone missing, and everything's kind of gone haywire, and you're trying to figure out what's going on at the school. And you meet some nice little friends along the way. The story's been fine so far, cute. You can always tell, though, like, especially with indie games, the writing team, like, you can always tell when it's somebody's, like, kind of first outing or, like, it, just not a pro storyteller, because the dialogue is just like a little off, and the dialogue is always just a little off here. Like, sometimes they hit it and they do cool little tricks where they'll like highlight a word in a certain color to emphasize it and like affect how you read it, and that usually works pretty well. But the characters feel a little bit like stiff and a little one-dimensional, which is not really what you want to see in an RPG generally. But the central mystery is compelling and the gameplay is good, and it's pretty short. I've read it's like 15 hours long, and I'm probably like 5 hours in, so it feels as though I'm about a third of the way done. And so I'll probably finish that by next week's show. And then the other thing I played, because I was just sitting around bored and I needed something to play for like 50 minutes, was Mega Man 11. I tried this game a while back and I didn't like it at all. I finally beat it, and it was better, like every single Mega Man game. I don't know why I didn't remember that this happens every single time I play a Mega Man game. It got better as it went along. Like, the first level is always so frustrating because you don't have any powers, and Mega Man is filled with cheap deaths and just stuff you can't really foresee, and it just took me out of it. But once I finally cleared, I found a stage that I could beat. I started kind of rushing through them more successfully, and I did enjoy the game overall. Like, the catch in this one is you have a double gear system. One boosts your attack, and the other lets you slow down time, and technically, like, you're supposed to be moving faster is the story idea. But the bosses can use it too, so there's some cool little pattern mix-ups that they do, and it does create for a more unique platforming experience than some of the other Mega Man games, because they're all extremely similar. So it was good overall. I was a little harsh on it originally. I definitely have complaints. I hate the life system. If there's a game that has lives in it and it's a platformer, that's a mistake. There just should not be lives in games anymore. The checkpoint system was a mess too. Like, if I lost because there was an unforeseeable, like, so there was this one level, right? This is a good example. It was Torchman stage, and like, you go in and things kind of get dark, and there's like an owl holding a lantern, but like, things in the background change all the time, and it's an enemy and he's dropping fireballs at you. So I shot him like a normal person, and like, the game got me, like, the power went out and I couldn't see anything. So I stood there and I waited for like 15-20 seconds for another guy to show up, and nobody did. It was just like, oh, you shot that guy, you're dead now. Now you have to go back to like the beginning of the level, even though you've done all of this challenge up till now. Just put me back at the beginning of that screen. There's no need for a ridiculously dated checkpoint system or extra lives. Game overs, let's throw those out. We don't need them anymore. They're just frustrating at this point. But those complaints aside, I enjoyed it, and those have been my two games.
Well, for me, I played Splatfest, and I won. But then I was Fire Emblem Heroes, which we'll be talking about later, because I have thoughts. I have thoughts.
I'm glad that we're talking about it later, because I wanted to say it, but I thought, I'm not going to say it. I wasn't sure if we were talking about it later.
Yeah, well, no, we're going to do it in the news, because I want to dive into this more, because it's a recurring thread on this podcast. But the big thing, obviously, I've been playing is Puyo Puyo Tetris 2.
Mm-mm.
And I don't remember if this is how it was in the first game, but I'm getting like pretty deep into the adventure mode, which is equal parts anime, fun, and insanity. But I just don't like Puyo Puyo. Like I can play it. That's not that hard. But when you're getting like into the like the later levels with like the difficulty, it just like ramps up. I'm talking power creep worse than Fire Emblem Heroes. All right. Like I was in level area 4, and I had to do a series of battles against the quote unquote big bad. No spoilers yet. But in one of them, we had to do like a regular Puyo Puyo battle. I'm like, okay, that's fine. So at this point, I realized that the best way to just win Puyo Puyo is to randomly stack the Puyo Puyos on each other and then just go for a combo by letting things just randomly fall into place. It works better than you think. And but I couldn't even do that because as I'm stacking up and trying to get some things going, like the boss was beating me like less than 60 seconds. It wasn't even close. I even tried to play it my reg the other way of like actually intentionally trying to get the combos and whatever, and I was just getting creamed the whole time. So if it wasn't for the skip stage button, I would be stuck because there's no way I could beat it. And then they threw in a brand new kind of mode, which I do appreciate. I like that they were changing it up a little bit, but they called it Big Bang, where you have to like place a block or a Puyo Puyo perfectly, Puyo Puyo perfectly, Puyo Puyo, Puyo, not turn it, and see if you can set off like a series of chain reactions. And at first, I'm like, okay, this is easy, this is fine, I could totally do this. It's just math and everything. But then, like after a few waves in, it's like, no, you have to like 6 moves ahead. You gotta see exactly where you gotta put it, and but you're doing it on a time crunch because you got 30 seconds. And it's just, I was just like getting overwhelmed, so I had to like skip like 3 or 4 stages in a row until I finally got back to Tetris. Because with Tetris, I am good. If you two had this game, I would totally challenge you to Tetris, and I would win just like I do at Mario Kart.
I know you
And
would win in Tetris because no, I'm not even gonna take the bait on Mario Kart, but Tetris 99, I was like blown away. Like you
hey,
won
I
all the time. Well, not all
and
the
I
time, but
have got some crowns in Tetris 99 myself, so yes,
I would
I
lose
probably
that.
would
I never
have
won
that.
Tetris 99. I rarely give up, and I just at some point I was like, I'm never gonna win. I'm gonna get second every time, and that's
Yeah.
fine. I'm done. I quit. It was
My
sad. I lost.
worst thing is that sometimes I'll have like the perfect strategy, but then my thumb will slip when I do like the automatic drop, and so like I'll think, oh yeah, I got pressed to the side, but I press up top, and then the block drops. I'm like, crap. But no, like when I'm playing the Tetris modes, I'm fine because I can win relatively easily, or I can just go in and last long enough to get all the combos and be fine. I don't mind, but when it's Puyo Puyo, it's just so much harder. And I mean, again, I like the game overall still because of the storyline and the characters and the insanity of it all, but it's just the power creep was just so much. And like there were times I'm just literally like just throwing Puyo Puyo together to try and land and make a combo eventually, and it works, and it's like, ha, I win. And other times I'm like, nope, skip stage, and it sucks because I hate having to skip stages because I'd rather just play the game and enjoy it in full. And I can't remember because it was a long time ago. It was 2017. Boy, that does feel like a long time ago, doesn't it? I don't remember if I had to do this with the original Puyo Puyo, and that makes me sad because I'm like, I would hope that I didn't have to do this, but I don't remember. So it's one of those things where you love the good parts, but you like really hate the parts that annoy you. So such is life, such is life. And until Pokemon Snap comes around, this is basically like the game I'm gonna be playing. This I might actually go back and play Tetris 99 just to get my Tetris game on, but we shall see, we shall see.
I feel like Puyo Puyo would be like really, really fun if you were really good at it. Like
Yeah.
getting those like gigantic collapsing towers would be really satisfying.
Yeah, like when you hit like a mega combo, it's fine. But like I started out playing it like, okay, I've got to line up the four or three or four to get the combo, and it was fine. It's like, no, you got to stack it more. So I'm like, okay, put this here, and that was fine. But then as you're going on, you have to think like faster and faster, and I can't do that with colors. I can do that with Tetris blocks. That's easy. It's not hard to understand Tetris. But with Puyo Puyo, you really have to think far enough ahead. And as much as I have a mind for strategy and everything, as I've proven in Fire Emblem and such, it's just harder with Puyo Puyo. And it sucks because I don't want that. I want to enjoy this game, but when I'm on a Puyo Puyo level, I'm already looking for the next Tetris one. I'm like, where is the Tetris? Where is it? All right, so heading now to the news, because we do have it, apparently. But no, we have some good and interesting things, including some stuff that'll get Will's dander up in a way, because it's about a game that we've all been waiting for news on. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. But sadly for Will, before we talk about that game, we need to talk about Splatoon 2.
Yes.
Now is the time when we throw back our head in laughter. Ready? Ready!
Oh, it's good to be on the laughing side of that. Wow.
Yep. So, as Will alluded to earlier, notice he hasn't said a word. Not only did Mushroom win, not only did we kick Star butt, but we did it with a literal 2-1 disadvantage.
Right.
It was, what was the final? It was like, what, 60?
It was like, it was like 68% on the popular vote, but the team battle was like 55 and the solo battle was 55. It was a blowout in Splatfest terms, a blowout.
Yeah, we had less people, but we had more talent.
That's right.
That's right.
This was a situation, Todd, where the incompetent players, the sheeple of the world, the low IQ masses, the unwashed masses, all were like, shiny star, I'm gonna play on that team. But the big brain people who know what it takes to play Mario, who know their power-ups, they all said, you guys have the star, give us the mushroom. It's what we said in our argument, the skill factor favors the mushroom. Mushroom won.
And hey, like, you know, and as they say, when you sign up to get the star, you're going to get a charge, but it'll run out.
But it will run out.
It will run out.
It will run out. Yep. Will got that 100-point win. Oh, really scary. It ran out.
It ran out handily. And it wasn't like the whole, like, 50-point whatever to 49-point whatever that someone would say, like, oh, it was rigged, you know, fake news, fixed election, and all that stuff.
Right.
Right. Whoever that person may
have
been.
I hate when people do that.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you know, this whole system is rigged. But, no, Will, you lost. You lost.
I have been just shaking my head this entire time. Again, I will accept this loss with dignity and grace. I like some other people that out there who argue for other Splatfests. I will concede regarding to this loss. I know when I have been being sharp. And if anything else, it's just, again, this is just simply that same pattern that we have experienced before. I mean, if the popularity vote was definitely close to the 50-50 mark, then sure, maybe I would have had a chance. But when it comes to overwhelming popularity, it seems to be just overly one-sided because of the victory. So, I don't know, it just seems to be the overwhelming growing pattern since the Splatfest ever first came to be. But again, I will concede I'm not ungrateful, unlike some other Splatfest topic.
It's just sad. This is just, it's petty. It's filled with anger. It's sad is what's happening here. I just, somebody cut Will's mic. I respect him too much to see him like this. I don't want to see him like this. It's too much.
It's too much. Bugger off, you gloaters.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on to the news that'll, you know, inspire another argument. Fire Emblem Heroes banner. So there was a new banner that was teased, and Tyler accurately predicted that Tharja was going to be one of the characters. That was very well done.
Thank you.
And so I see the banner, and it's called, you know, what was it called, like Ritual Festival or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
It's like a plaguing and ritual thing. And it's a callback to, you know, Fire Emblem Awakening and, you know, Plagueia, which was the bad guys, but we also met Tharja there, so, you know, it couldn't be all bad. And I did that for you, Will. But when I look at the outfits and I looked at the characters who were there, my literal thoughts were, oh my gosh. They did it again. And I'm not even talking about Tharja, because Tharja at this point is the other Kamiya of this game, of like how many skimpy outfits can we put on her. That didn't even faze me. It really didn't. It was everybody else. All right? I mean, Katarina was like, Yeah, okay, fine.
She was fine, yeah.
Hers was fine. In context, it was fine. Raphael was random. I mean, like, this is our introduction to Raphael into the game is via this Plagueian festival?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
True.
Chris, male Chris, like, I'm not sure if they were just trying to do that for the ladies with the whole dramatic back pose of, like, showing his rippling back muscles or whatever. I'm like,
Gender equality.
I suppose. Yeah, sure. But then, you know, you look at Tharja, which, again, I know in context, it was whatever. It's Tharja. But then you see Dorothea and, was it Lenny?
Yeah, the other Lenny.
Yeah, Lenny.
And I'm like, really? Really? you can't even, like, try? I mean, like, hey, two dance. Okay, first of all, technically Dorothea wasn't a dancer. She was a songstress, but you know, she could be a dancer class, I suppose. So fine, but like, really, really, you just like you can't even help yourselves. You can't even try to make it respectable dancer attire and whatever. Like, no.
Have you not been to the Middle East, good sir?
What do you want to apply about the way people dress in the Middle East? Are you going to say people dress revealing in the Middle East, Will? Please,
like, you never seen
argument.
Okay, I'm sorry to go and break your childhood dreams, but have you not seen Aladdin?
That was Disney. Okay, B, technically speaking, Jasmine was covered up, kind of. C, they were going for a, you know, stereotypical kind of thing, because as we all know, Disney is not always the best in their depiction of cultures.
Sometimes not.
Look at Peter Pan. I'm just saying. But you can't use Disney as an argument.
I'm glad he said Aladdin, though, because I was like totally just politically, my brain was elsewhere, and I was like, people do not dress revealing in the middle. But
no,
anyway,
that's literally half the point, is that the women can't dress revealingly in the Middle East.
I am in the middle here, so Will, you should defend yourself, and then I will try to be the voice of reason, but you all know I can't do that because I'm terrible at that.
Yeah.
I mean, for this banner, obviously, it's intelligent system. You gotta be wondering, like, you gotta do a one serious banner, and other, you gotta go deal with another good service banner. And of course, this time, it has some canon in regard to the Plagueian culture. I mean, sure, we didn't really get much, like, backstory, I mean, or history in regards to the Plagueian culture ever since the Awakening games. I mean, the only thing we actually was known was, obviously, with Tharja, Mustafa, and that's just about it. We don't really actually explore much more into that culture. It's just, like, very little, except again with the whole Fell Dragon origins and all that. So, again, this thing is probably, like, a banner to, yeah, maybe explore a bit more into it, perhaps. And sure, Raphael and everybody else seems a little bit definitely out of place, granted, because, again, Raphael is just saying, like, I don't know what's about this festival, but I know there's a feast! So, as we know, Raphael is, and yeah, for me, it's just like, okay, like, and you, it's almost like you haven't seen, like, the whole beach banner back before prior. I mean, heck, we had Dothea before, so what's different with Dothea now here? It's just like, okay, intelligence system, you go for another canon banner / service banner. I mean, okay, I have no mind. You can have my orbs. So, personally, for me, I didn't mind it. And plus, if you see, also did the paralogs as well. It's like, it actually holds some lore, if anything else.
That was awful.
It had some funny moments. All right. But I don't know. Personally, for me, I did not mind it at all. I mean, again, you have more of Tharja. Yes, there is another Tharja out, fine. That is a legit criticism against it. But everywhere else, and of course, like, again, get the duel here. I was like, okay, cool. I don't mind.
So here's where I fall on this. First of all, the paralogue was awful because the Grim Leal, like, they weren't good people. Like, that was the point. Like, it's not, oh, there are good people who also worship this dragon whose prophecy is to destroy the world. Like, you're not a good person if you worship the Grima. Anyway, on the outfits. So I think that the outfits weren't that bad. And that is because they pick good characters for it. Dorothea was the most revealing dresser in Three Houses. Lene was revealing in her, I don't even know what game she was in, but in her original Heroes outfit is pretty revealing. Not much more than this one is, or not much less than this one is. And Tharja, as Todd said, she's always been in these outfits, even though in Awakening she was like it was like she was super modest. Like her portrait is her like clutching a book to her chest. Like you can't see her appearance at all. And when you read that she had the best body, it was like, whoa, that's surprising because she's covering herself up. Anyway, my issue though, and it's not really like an issue, I don't care that much. The fact that there's a banner about pledging clothes is just pathetic. Like they could, they did this explicitly to put people in this, in these outfits to sell orbs to people. Like the pledging outfits idea is just ludicrous. They, there are so many other things that are way more relevant that they could have done than taken the attire of this one nation, which was not known for its attire. There were just a bunch of dark mages that you fought in who were pledging. Like the bar, here's a Raphael, right? His outfit, it doesn't even look like what the pledging barbarians outfits looked like. Like he looks more like an assassin, but it made absolutely no sense. They could have gone with so much better lore than the lore that they went with. They just went with this exclusively to put those people in those outfits, and that's why I think just the whole concept is dumb.
And to be fair as well, the outfit for Raphael can't even fit him. It actually is literally bursting in his artwork as well, so it doesn't really fit him per se.
Yeah. No, it just, the whole idea made no sense, and they could have come up with 100 different themed things. Like they haven't done this before, right? Like there was no, what banner is this taking the place of from last year? Did they do Valentine's at this point?
I don't know.
No, I think that was like a little bit before then. I can't recall.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, but we are getting to the Valentine's Day banner soon, so perhaps, I mean, maybe it's actually I don't remember.
It feels like they just were running low on cash and they were like, okay, time to go all in here on this. Let's get people in as skimpy outfits as we can possibly get them in, which I'm just never a fan of. Just the idea of that is stupid to me. I think the execution was fine. I really am not worked up about it, but just it was lazy and yeah, it was Fire Emblem Heroes is, I guess, the best way to put it.
See, for me, what really it comes down to is kind of what you noted, Tyler, is that it just made no sense. And then, like, I've had this problem with them in the past. At times, there's just no reason for certain of these characters to be there. Like, why was male Chris picked? Why was Raphael picked? I mean, Dorothea and Linnea, you know, sure, they're, you know, dancers. They can be dancers or whatever, and I find that's a pairing. Aha, aha, aha. But, like, why? I mean, if you wanted to do Plagia, then do, you know, Tharja, obviously. Do Aversa.
Right.
Do
right.
Valadar. Okay, that's three.
Yeah.
And then you could throw in
Henry.
Henry. There you go. And it's just like, hey, we gotta do an infiltration mission. Let's actually get the people from Plagia to do that.
Right.
Like it's right there. So I know it's like, hey, let's bring Raphael in there. Why?
Three houses and they were like, let's get some money.
Money, and they got it from Will. So I don't know, it's just, I expect so much better. I don't know why, I just do.
At what point do you just say, I'm done with, I just don't care about Fire Emblem Heroes doing this stuff anymore? Because they know they're going to do it like four more times this year, and we're going to be like, oh god, again.
It's going to keep going if anything else. And last I recall, you kind of semi-retired from the game, Tyler, before it came in. Get you back into the mobile game.
I retire and come out of retirement on it all the time. And I retired for like 2 weeks, but then I did come back for the New Year stuff. I fade in and out on it. I just like Fire Emblem, and I feel like Heroes is such a cool vehicle to like tell unique stories with these characters that'll never otherwise meet. And they just like refuse to do it. They just go for this low hanging fruit. And that's what disappoints me.
Yeah. I honestly just go to, you know, get orbs and summon the real new characters when they arrive, and I enjoy forging bonds when they do good with the characters. Like the last forging bonds event, that was actually pretty good.
Sure.
And you know, Tempest Trials when they actually care. Like, hey, let's have Tempest Trials about Raphael needing to find something cute for his sister. What? This is the freaking Tempest. This is supposed to be about danger. Or like when Michaelis and the young Minerva met. That was a great one. Or when Salif got to partner with Sigurd and Deirdre, yeah, and it was like cool. Family reunion. That brought tears to my eyes. But then this one is, no, we need to have Dorothea and Linnea help Raphael get a cute gift for his sister. Why?
I love to think of the voice actor for Raphael coming in like, oh man, Three Houses, all these great deep characters. You know, you got Dimitri, like the psychotic but noble prince, and Claude, the foreigner who's trying to change the system from the inside. What are my lines going to be? Food, 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 food.
It's like, I don't know why I'm here, but here's a platter.
Yeah, it's just like everything, every sentence is food for him. It's just a shame because it's not right to do the big guy like that. He's adorable. He's lovable.
He was never my favorite. I mean, he was honestly one of the more shallow characters.
Yeah, he was, and that's not so right.
To some extent. I mean, again, if you also seen Raphael with Marianne, then yeah, it gets a bit more deeper in their combos.
That's true. That one's decent.
All right, so moving on, we have a slightly sadder bit of news. A key Nintendo designer has retired. Will, take it away.
Yes, so if I have not heard already, artist Takaya Imamura is officially retiring from Nintendo and has been on the job for 35 years. So if you probably don't know his track record, he basically has worked on Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask and also did some artwork for F-Zero. And the last known credit artwork is regarding to starting Battle of Atlas, which he also involved with the Fox collaboration with the game. So yes, he has been in the gig for a long time, and if you know Star Fox, you probably recognize the guy. And just to see one like kind of a key member of that team as well as like original from the original F-Zero team is just, yeah, like there's really not too much to say. I mean, again, 35 years is a long time, and yeah, it's about time to retire from the gigs. So, and just again, artwork from Star Fox 64, Legend of Zelda: Majora's Mask. So if there's anybody person, definitely thank him, and just hopefully whatever he plans for the future is, yeah, best of luck to him in the future, whatever he does. So would it be if he is going to go back into the game industry or not. So yeah, Takaya Imamura, congratulations on your retirement for 35 years at Nintendo. Thank you for your artwork from Star Fox 64 and Majora's Mask, and here's hoping that whatever you do is the best of luck.
Yeah. I mean, it's always interesting when you hear like these long time, because I honestly didn't know the name, but then when he's like, oh, he worked on this, no, he worked on this, no, he worked on this, I'm like, oh wow, he's been around, and, you know, 25 years. I mean, that's the, you know, the high times of Nintendo, because he's like, okay, we're in 2021, so yeah, that's 85, so yeah, like he's been there since, you know, NES days.
Yep.
That's talent for you to be around that long. So, hey, happy retirement to you, man. Hope you enjoy it. All right. So here's an interesting piece of news that I certainly didn't expect. Pikmin 3. Now, Pikmin 3 Deluxe came out in late October 2020, a year that we're glad is gone, and we were all very bleh about it. I mean, let's be honest here. It was Pikmin 3 Deluxe, a port of the Wii U game. It's like that, what, 20th port from the Wii U system, basically. And we're like, yeah, okay, it's out, whatever. So apparently, Japan wasn't like, whatever. It was, where can we get this game? Because despite it only being out, let's see, about 3 months, it's now the best-selling game. Oh, sorry, best-selling Pikmin game in Japan. Yeah, can't believe it either. According to the numbers, in the less than 3 months, it has sold over 513,000 units. And the second best Pikmin game was the original Pikmin on the GameCube at 502,000 units lifetime. So they really, really wanted Pikmin. I guess. What can you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising given how all the ports have done super well. Pretty much all the ports have done super well. But for such a, you know, it's good that the game is getting a second chance at life on a more successful console. It wasn't exciting for us, but I am glad that it's found its mark.
Will?
Not nothing much to really say about it, just to say the least. I mean, again, Pikmin 3 and everything else, so there's really not much to say.
So, what really gets me about this is that there's no doubt now that Pikmin 3 Deluxe has got over 1 million copies sold. Because with half of them being in Japan, and you know that there are at least a couple hundred thousand people in the U.S. that didn't get Pikmin 3 because it was on the Wii U, you know, if not millions. Okay, it's obviously millions, but still. You know, like, this definitely did well. And so will this finally be the thread that gets Nintendo to get off their sorry butts and bring in Pikmin 4? Because how long have we heard that Pikmin 4 is done or close to being done? There you go. We bought the game. We bought it twice. It sold over 1 million on the Switch. Give us Pikmin 4! Come on! That's what really got us, was that, you know, they were, like, I know Miyamoto has said multiple times that Pikmin 4 is, like, either done or close to being done, and yet they do the port release first? It's like, why?
It almost feels to me like, and it could be totally wrong, but it feels like Pikmin 4, when it comes out, it will just be like a weird abomination of a game, because he said for like 7 years that it's done or close to done. So if they didn't release it, they didn't release it for a reason. Maybe it wasn't fun. Maybe the Pikmin series, they just didn't want to release it. I don't know. But I feel like if it does see the light of day, it's going to be some deformed game that might be great, but it's going to be weird.
I like it's slightly deformed, but it could be great!
Yeah.
All right. We'll just have to see how that goes, and then when we get hard numbers, we will let you know. So, just stay tuned, okay? All right, next up, we have Bravely Default. Because we did get an update of sorts on things. Again, the game is coming out next month, so be excited for that. I think it's like, what was it, the 24th? 23rd?
26th, like I thought it came out.
Alright. Anyway, it's sometime in late February, so be on the lookout for that. And the team was talking recently with Famitsu, and producer Masashi Takahashi noted some things about like the game's delays. And he goes, quote, "We announced the release info at the Game Awards 2019 and proceeded accordingly with that goal in mind. Development overlapping with the spread of the virus, combined with the fact that we were unsure how long things would go on, had quite an impact on things. As an example, progress on voice recording for foreign languages was slow. We had to coach the voice actors remotely, and they had to record in their own homes without background noise, then send the audio back to us. Everyone involved really gave it their all, and we got it done. We were a few months behind schedule, but we were able to get the voice work done without much trouble," end quote. And see, that's the thing that you don't think about. It's like, oh, you're thinking about graphics, thinking about, you know, gameplay mechanics. You don't think about all the different voices that you have to do for, like, the Japanese localization, the U.S. localization, certain other regions. Like, that takes time, especially in an RPG where you know a lot of people talk. So... And then, of course, there was the feedback that was given via the U.S. or the U.S. and Japanese demo, and they had to take time to fix things so that it adhered to what the players asked for. And yet, somehow, Elvis is still annoying. It's like, I'm sorry, they said, hey, we had to coach the voice actors remotely, and yet I heard Elvis in that new trailer. He doesn't sound different!
He needed to be coached in person. Yeah. He definitely needed an in-person coach, but... I just pulled it up because I wanted to check on the release date. It was the 26th. The box art looks so beautiful, and like, I'm way more excited about this after just looking at it. Like, yeah, I'm going to play in Japanese to avoid the voice situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's almost here. It is almost here. This is probably the first major, I guess Bowser's Fury comes out first. Second biggest title of the first half or first quarter of this year. So that's exciting.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, like, I still have to go try that final trial demo that they released it as well, but from what I can tell, like, even with all the pre-orders, last I checked on Best Buy, they actually, if you pre-order the game, you actually get a nice little coaster as well for Bravely Default 2, so there's that. But, yeah, overall from that, it just feels like this game, I mean, again, it has that same touch as we knew before. I mean, Josh plays the games before, prior, and he's a big fan, but... Just seeing how it all, and of course, naturally, we played the first alpha demo that was released before. It definitely has had this promise. I mean, again, from Team Square Enix and just everything else, it just seems very promising. So if you enjoy Bravely Default, then yeah, this is definitely a title to look forward to.
Yeah, I'll probably get it just because it's going to be a while between that and Pokemon Snap, but I don't know. We'll see. I didn't play Bravely Default, and I didn't play Bravely Second. So
see, I'm a Bravely Default appreciator. Lover. Yeah. Some would say lover. I love those two games, mainly the first one. Second one was really good, too.
Yeah, but not as much as you love Sonic, right?
No, of course
okay.
not.
Of just making sure. Not. Just got to have that tiered loyalty. You know, A rank, B rank, you know, all that.
I'm excited because the first game's soundtrack was unbelievable. It's done by the guy who did the Attack on Titan opening themes, and at least in the first two seasons.
Samano?
I think it was Revo or something like that.
Okay.
But he definitely did the Attack on Titan two of those songs, and just bangers. And the second game went a different direction, and soundtrack wasn't as good. Mm-hmm. Getting this back, it's gonna be glorious.
And I mean, not to go off tangent, but we actually have some breaking news right now, and as we're talking about Fire Emblem Heroes. They just announced it on Twitter right now, the Choose Your Legends Round 5. So, yes, the next Choose Your Legends band is now currently active right now.
Oh, snap. Like, that's huge. I mean, I don't know who's going to win because the main three houses people are all in.
I'm going to go for a young Dimitri.
We've already had Dimitri.
We have how many ultimates from already? Come on.
Yeah, I'm still mad they did two basically the same Dimitri. It's just like, okay. Sure.
I know, that was weird.
That was weird.
And we still haven't got Claude yet, so yes, I'm still waiting for that one.
What are you talking about? We got Claude?
Young
Claude and older Claude.
No, that was Brave Claude. I'm talking
Claude.
About post-time skip Claude. Yes.
So, yes, Choose Your Legends is now open. Go and vote. It's going to be very interesting to see who wins. Has Starja won?
No.
No. What about
she's in.
What do you think
she's
about Constance, in. Todd? If I voted Constance, would you join me on voting Constance?
Or heck, how about Yuri?
Or Happy? I prefer Happy. Constance was so annoying.
She was awesome.
I'm sorry. It's just like I was happy that I somehow got her and Balthus together because I'm trying to imagine their life together and it's funny in all the right ways. But no, Constance was so annoying. I mean, they never explained her split personality. They kind of teased it, but they never gave us a definitive reason why what it had to do with light and shadow. I'm just like, she clearly knows about it. It's like, come on. vote for who you want, Tyler, but I would make a bet right now that because of how things have gone and who's left and who's not, that Tharja is definitely going to be top three, if not four.
You're probably right. Cast my vote, though. I am a Ferdinand von Eyre voter. I am a Ferdinand von Eyre voter.
Why do you like these annoying people?
He is awesome.
He's not.
Greatness awaits him. Oh. He is Ferdinand von Eyre.
Okay. Do you know what I like to imagine at times, Tyler? When I'm either playing the game Faye or Three Houses, and I go up against Ferdinand, all I hear is him saying, "I am Ferdinand von Eyre," right there.
Eldest
right,
son of Duke Eyre.
Stop. Right when he says Vaughn, I just shove a sword or a spear right in his gut. So it sounds like, "I am Ferdinand von."
That is awful. That is just not right. And that is just sad. He is a great character and a better man.
Now, if for those curious that I would hurt Constance, please, I am a gentleman. I am a host. I just duct tape her mouth shut. That actually would be kind of fun. I could just like imagine her struggling to get the tape off, but she can't. And then I like shove her.
Oh, that
into
is
the
sadistic.
And
that
then
is
just,
sadistic.
And then, no, it gets worse. Then I just like push her into the shadows, and she'd be like all down. She's like, she'd be thinking like, "Of course, this tape is my judgment for how bad I have been. I understand now." And she's like lamenting in her head, and I'll pull her out.
And you call me a degenerate.
That's terrible.
Hey, I'm the host. I can have a dark side. What? It's like, what? You guys are entitled to have the dark sides, but I can't. I have my moments, okay? Remember, I'm Broly, so I am an angry man-child who's going to kill a person if I get angry enough. So, with big hair. Man-child with big hair. Anyway, so, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Bravely Default. But, the Bravely Default team said, quote, "We do express our sincerest apologies to the fans who are waiting for the game. However, we believe we made the right decision by choosing to delay its release." And I do agree with that. Because, as we have shown, many times, and especially as 2020 has refused to show us, delays actually can help. I know it's a hard thing to think about because, you know, sometimes teams just don't do the job, right? Looking at you, Cyberpunk and Avengers. But take your time, do it right, listen to the fans, make a great game. It shouldn't be that hard. So we'll keep you updated on everything, and it's 26th, you said, Tyler, right?
Yes, 26th.
Okay, 26th, so enjoy. All right, next up, we have... Oh, here's the piece of news Will has been waiting for. Hideki Kamiya. Yes, the man who has blocked Will on Twitter for reasons only known to God. And Hideki Kamiya. So, I still find it hilarious that he blocked you for some reason. It's just, you know, him being him. That's just funny. Anyway, Kamiya was doing a live stream for Arcade Archives, and he had a phone conversation with Satoshi Hamada of Hamster for reasons only known to God. And he teased both Bayonetta 3 and some other announcements for 2021. Here's how it went. Hamada noted, "I believe you're very busy with new projects." Kamiya replied, "Well, I suppose." Really, Kamiya? You suppose? We've been working on new stuff like Bayonetta 3, not that I can say too much, but I hope we can give an update during this year and give updates on a few more unannounced projects too. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that, but I said it anyway." End quote. So, yeah, hopefully, maybe, possibly, we'll get, you know, a Bayonetta 3 update. I mean, can we dream, Will? Can we have hope?
Yeah, it's also the point, it's just becoming a running meme right now. Even everybody's making fun of Nintendo and Platinum Games, like, oh, it has been 80, oh yes, since we've heard news of Bayonetta 3. And yeah, as far as I'm concerned, like, yeah, Nintendo, Platinum Games, and Kamiya has just been more or less been playing coy of, like, yeah, we are working on it. When? You'll find out when you find out in Hawaiian time. And it's just like, yeah, okay. We're just like, okay, just put you in the back burner. We don't care about you anymore right now until you have something concrete. Until you're like, yeah. So it's just becoming the running joke right now. So, but here is hoping, but I'm not holding my breath until we actually get something legit concrete.
See, what does intrigue me was his line about the unannounced projects. Because we know that Platinum is wanting to, you know, do more on their own and not necessarily be tied to a publisher outside, but still making games, obviously. And, you know, some of us, including like you and me, Will, we want to know if there's going to be Astral Chain 2, which was a million seller on the Switch. And, you know, there's rumors of a Nier Automata sequel, maybe. You never know. And I'm not talking about that weird decimal number update game. That's totally different. But, you know, you never know with them. And they might have a totally new idea that they want to do. Okay. So, I don't know. We need Bayonetta 3. I mean, this could be the third-party year extravaganza for Switch between, you know, Bravely, the two Monster Hunter titles, possibly Bayonetta. You know, there's going to be at least a few more things. I think Ubisoft has something coming out. I can't remember. So, why not, right? Why, we got to have hope. I have to believe. Or not.
Well, again, with how recent games have come out, like with Cyberpunk and everything else, I mean, we just recently got off from Resident Evil 8, A Village, and that thing's coming up in May. So, like, if you're going to make some games, you might as well just take your good time to just make them. I mean, yes, Platinum Games, you make great games, and if you need the time of it, fine, just take time of it. I'm at the point, like, now that with the gaming industry as it is, like, just take your bloody time with the game. So if it's not ready, it's not ready. So take your time.
Yeah. And finally, just a small little thing. Nintendo released the box art for Pokemon Snap, and naturally it looks very beautiful. I'm still very hyped for this game. I think this could be like a very fun, relaxing title along the lines of Animal Crossing New Horizons, you know, minus the island building and more about island photo taking. Actually, can you take photos in Animal Crossing? And I'm not talking like the screenshot button. I'm like actual photos. Do we know?
That's a great question. We should really have an Animal Crossing third-party expert that we call whenever an Animal Crossing question comes up, because none of us play it. So.
No, I know some people though. You never know. But I'm still very excited for Pokemon Snap, and and the pre-orders are available now. So if you want to go and make sure you get it, go ahead and just get the pre-order. It's already there. All right, and so for our main event, we are getting political! Kinda. So in light of our new President Joe Biden and Madam Vice President Kamala Harris, we are going to look at presidential rulings of a Nintendo kind. Because as Tyler has suggested to us before the podcast, what if we, three kings of Nintendo attire, were to become the Nintendo president, CEO, however you want to phrase it, and we, like Biden and Harris, decided on day one, we had to get things rolling. We had to, not fix things per se, because Nintendo's doing pretty well, obviously, but like, if we had to make adjustments, if we had to make plans, if we had to really make the future bright for Nintendo, what would we do on day one? So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to lay down some executive orders. I do lament the fact that more than likely we only will be able to do this once every 4 years.
Yeah, that is sad. That was a good lead-in, though, and maybe once every 8 years, given the two terms. I think 2024. I think 2024. There's going to be another person in there signing some executive orders.
Well,
but...
I mean, 2028. I know of a Frode person who's going to run for a. Yes. You never know.
Yes, so but, well, exclusive content. I can't wait to interview you.
Exclusive. I'm sorry. I'm the host. I will interview myself. I can do the voice acting and the split personality thing really well.
I
can
just think it's important that you appear humble to the people. So I'll do the, I'll conduct the interview. I promise I'll give you all the questions in advance.
Huh. Humble me, please. Anyway, so yes, we are going to lay down some executive orders, and the rules are this. You have just been made the president and or CEO, or however you want to phrase it, of Nintendo. You have to make the future of Nintendo bright, and you want to lay down the law or the example on day one. What would you do? Are you going to do something first party? Third party? Are you going to do something silly? What do you want to do? Tyler, this was your topic. You take it away.
Yes. So my first order of business as soon as I took the office would be to revoke this ridiculous ban on the restrictions to unique Mario characters. You've heard about it 100 times. The Paper Mario series, the spinoffs, they are clamping down on how creative you can get with the Mario characters to protect the IP, quote unquote. It makes no sense. It's never made sense. Their games are of lower quality because of it. I will never understand where this came from, but that's the first thing that I do is I say, that's done. Get as creative as you would like. And this goes beyond Mario, although it seems to me as though Nintendo really is only abiding by that rule for Mario. But get as creative as you'd like with the character designs. People love it. People love creative characters. And for some reason, there's this rule in place that needs to be removed.
That's a good one. I mean, you know how I feel about Paper Mario, man. So yeah, I'm not gonna object to that order. So
Do you want me to read all of my orders?
We'll do one. We got time. So let's do it one at a time.
I agree.
Yeah, Will, take away. What's your first executive order?
If I was actually chosen to be part of the board of Nintendo, my first order would be this. It would be work with Sega, get Skies of Arcadia onto the Switch. I'm sorry. Because,
it works.
We have
you can do it here.
We have been clamoring for mini games, and I think that because I was so close to actually say, like, have, like, on a long idea with Tyler, like, have a proper RPG Paper Mario, no longer like give a new I don't even remember, forgot the name of it. What was the new game for Paper Mario recently?
Origami King.
Thank you. Like, yeah, I mean, as much as Origami King is decent, no, which just give me straight up RPGs, like back to Thousand Year Door formula. That's what I would do. I was about to go say that idea, but going back to my original of just bringing Skies Arcadia back to Nintendo hardware is just like, hello, it's been sorely underrated that so many times. And again, we don't, ever since GameCube era, it has been just so long, and many people, including like even back the old former staff, still is just so surprised about how many people want this game to be brought back into the current modern day. So Nintendo, I would have ordered Nintendo and Sega to collab once more time and actually bring Skies of Arcadia to the modern day. That would be my first executive order, because I know that about it. Everyone wants to see that that collaboration between Nintendo and Sega once again.
Side note, on the show many of us like here, Death Battle, they do these things called community death battles, and they have like totally random ideas of what, you know, what could be fun matchups and who they thought would win. And in a recent one, they had the Helicarrier from Marvel Cinematic Universe versus the Delphinus from Skies of Arcadia.
Yes.
And one of the hosts, Chad James, was like, Skies of Arcadia was like my favorite game on the Dreamcast, is one of my favorite games of all time, and I know that I am so alone in that, you know, not a lot of people like Skies of Arcadia, and I'm shouting at the screen, Will is your man! you're not alone, Chad! And Delphinus lost that community death battle. So, there you go. But I honestly think that was more about, you know, people not knowing Skies of Arcadia. But of course you would do that, Will. Of course you would do that.
It's severely underrated. It's got to be known. Yeah. That is one of the best games ever. It's got to be. More people have to play this game.
Yeah. All right. So, ironically enough, I had a somewhat similar idea to what Will is doing. My first executive order is to go to Sega and say, okay, look. We have the Switch. I feel we can do more. What if we made the Dreamcast 2? And no, I'm kidding.
Yes, I like it. I like it.
Okay, we're going to have Dreams, Sonic, Skies of Arcadia 2, and that's it. That's the only three games. No, I'm kidding. My real executive order honestly would involve Sega, though. I would call the heads of Sega, Square Enix, Capcom, Ubisoft. Let's see, what's another? I know there's more out there.
Third party.
I'm trying to think of like really though, like Konami. To be an objective, like a good ruler would be fine, Konami. But yeah, but basically every major third party non-exclusive company, I would get them on the phone. And I would say, look, and this is me being real here. I would say, look, we have the best-selling console on the market right now. We're in our fourth year. We're going to be going at least another four. The Xbox and the PS5, they're not doing good right now. You want to make money. We want to have great games. What do you want to make on our system? And they go, well, what do you mean? It's like, what do you want to make? Is there a game idea out there that you've wanted to make, but you just haven't had the chance or the opportunity or the permission to go make it for a console? Is there a franchise that you want to bring back, but you don't have the console, you don't have the money, you don't have, you know, the team to get it done? We will help you bring that back, to bring that to life. And I know some people are going to be, you know, kind of confused, but so, like, here's what I'm thinking. Capcom. There's a guy out there who wants nothing more than to bring Darkstalkers back. Imagine Darkstalkers Returns for the Switch. It'd be huge. Okay?
Yeah.
Square Enix. They had a still relatively well-known BRPG franchise called Star Ocean. Imagine a return of Star Ocean on the Switch. They could totally do it. And as we've shown, The Switch has great RPGs via Xenoblade, Pokemon, Fire Emblem. We got the engine. We could totally do a Star Ocean game. Konami, sure, why not? Hey, let's do a new Castlevania title. And Metal Gear. Oops, sorry, can't say that. Metal Gear Survive 2.
No.
I know, Will. I know. All right. And then Ubisoft. Guys, look at me. Where's Mario and Rabbids 2? Come on. I'm serious, though. How has that not gotten
I know, that is surprising.
That is so surprising. My vision, I've honestly had this vision basically since the Switch really took off. This could be the ultimate platform for developers to say, why the heck not? Why not bring, you know, a couple of Shin Megami Tensei titles to the Nintendo console? Hey, why not bring back Darkstalkers? Let's keep going with Mario and Rabbids because it got such a great reception. Let's bring back Star Ocean. Let's try this brand new franchise that we just don't think Sony or Microsoft would like. But hey, Nintendo's open. Nintendo will never, ever, ever be the graphical dominator. And that's okay. But we could be the open door. Say, hey, if you think you can make a quality game, we want it on our system. We will help you. We will promote it. We will probably help pay for it. I'm really not sure how these deals work, to be honest with you. I never got that far in the game industry. But I'm just being honest.
No,
I'm
yeah, that's honest. Fair. That's fair. That's fair. We didn't actually get elected president. This is just a hypothetical.
Yeah, hypothetically. Besides, I had a business gaming business class, but you know, I don't really know how the deals work or how contracts are worked out. I was a humble QA tester and game writer. That was it. So, you know, I know it would be difficult for some, and I know not all companies would be interested, and that's okay. But I would want to send the message, hey, we're doing great. These people buy our games. What do you want to make?
That's a good one. I like
it. What do you want to make? Thank you.
So far, I think we're all three for three.
I like it.
I have a not quite as serious one, but it's serious. It's very serious, and it involves Mario Kart. So you look at the Mario Kart roster, and it's deplorable what Mario Kart 8 Deluxe has done. I mean, the roster is a joke. They have so many great characters, and they have five baby characters. My executive order, limit to three. You can only have three baby characters maximum in every Mario Kart game. You could pick whatever combination you want. I would assume you'd go Baby Mario, Baby Luigi, and Baby Peach. But if you want Baby Donkey Kong in there, that's cool. Throw him in there. You want Baby Rosalina? That's cool. You want Baby Koopa Troopa? Go ahead and put him in there. But you can only have three. And Diddy Kong must be in every Mario Kart game from now on.
Okay.
That's important. Okay. I think that's important. And I feel as though you guys might not agree with that, but I feel that it's important, and that's my second executive order as Supreme Chancellor of Nintendo.
I mean, granted, yes, the baby characters has been a bit much. I mean, again, with the baby forms naturally, and of course, also in Deluxe, we also have different color Yoshis as well. But I think the Yoshi
that's
colors...
cool because it's like in a single character, the Yoshi colors are cool, very cool.
Right. So at least they get a pass, yeah. But like the baby characters themselves is granted. A bit too much, and so yeah, and of course they definitely have other characters they definitely expect for, and even like other unknown monsters that heck, I'd be surprised if a spiny can actually drive a cart. So that's something. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's get Spiny in there. Let's get Paragoomba in there. I mean, come on, just the five baby characters is probably three too many, but I'm gonna say at least two too many. I mean, Baby Rosalina, what even is that? It's terrible.
Will, save us.
All right, and if there's a second executive order that I must have to, for any changes of Nintendo, for bloody sakes, let's do some R&D on the online infinite structure, because we have done so much of, like, again, when competitors are doing so much more better on internet online structure than Nintendo's, like, yeah, perhaps maybe we should try to go and move forward to the future, because again, yeah, like, thankfully Nintendo has been good regarding to everything else mostly, and regarding to like be it either be physical shipments, digital titles, and all that, sure. But if there's anything else, like, they really have to do R&D on their online infrastructure, because like, how many times have fans been complaining about, like, it is so laggy, it's so laggy, and of course, like, when other companies like Sony or Microsoft have done internet, even basic online internet structure well, it's just like, yeah, it is about time that we need to go and really do some R&D on internet online structure, because, like, sure, we can do basic Wi-Fi online structures, all that, sure, but I think it's about time Nintendo has to really, like, bring their game at least up to standard for what everyone else is. Because, yeah, as we always been saying that, Nintendo, as much as we love them, they are a bit kind of like behind the times, especially going to internet online structures. So, like, we're going to like the Mario Deluxe Racings or any of the Smash Brother online matches. Yeah, I think it's about time they actually have to improve upon, like, I don't know, internet own private servers, anything, or just heck, even eShop online stability, basically the whole approach into online services, be it multiplayer or with eShop. So if I was chosen to be head, that would be my second executive order, is just like improve R&D your internet online, because like it's about time you need to go and improve, at least bring up standard of what people have been experiencing for so long with other companies.
Good answer. See, you guys should have done this for me, but I'm going to do it for Will. It's a good answer.
Yeah. All right. So my second one, honestly, it kind of plays into the first one, and it's one that we also talked about quite a bit on NEP before, and that is the first party franchises. I would bring in a whiteboard, and I would write on it Mario, Zelda, and not Pikmin. I'll be fair. Pikmin was a port. Pokemon, multiple times. I would do Mario Maker, Super Mario Party, Smash Brothers, Kirby. I'd write all the first-party franchises that have been truly represented via a non-port on the Switch. And I go, okay, here's the franchises we've already done in our first 4 years. This is an incredible amount. And you know we've got more coming, like Metroid and so-and-so. But here's the ones we don't have. Donkey Kong. Star Fox. Dang it, lost it. Where was it? Oh, F-Zero! There you go, Keith. And I would just list out all the franchises. Kid Icarus. I would list them all out. And I would go, where are these franchises? Why aren't these in development? Why don't we have a team on these? Who can we get to work on these? And some of them, they may say, hey, that's not feasible for what we're doing right now. And I'll be like, okay, that's fine. What ones can we work with? What ones can we use? What ones can we start on relatively soon? And I think we could easily, within that first day, get a loose idea of the ones that we can start working on and start cranking out so that they'll be there in, like, I'll be generous, 2 to 3 years. So near the end of the Switch's cycle, that way we could say that we still got good games coming out towards the end.
I like the time element. I do. Yeah. I like it. It's something you can get it right away.
Yeah. Because again, we got stuff coming out soon, you know, like Snap and Breath of the Wild 2, Metroid 4, eventually, hopefully, possibly, and everything. And you know that there's going to be, like, you know, there's going to be ports. There's going to be more ports. We know this is true. But we need to diversify. Where's Golden Sun? Where's Ice Climbers? Let's have a modern...
No, we don't need that. Nobody needs that.
Come on! A modern Ice Climbers?
Okay,
come
okay,
on.
Fine. I'm in.
It doesn't have to be the grandest thing ever. Okay, fine.
I'm in.
Okay,
you
that's
got
why
me. You convinced me. It was
I know,
easy
that's why I'm the host. That's why I'm the host. Anyway, but again, it's the simple things. Like, people think, oh, you gotta do grand things, or you gotta be biased, like someone's Diddy Kong pick.
But that was a great pick.
Right.
Good answer.
Yeah. Anyway, but...
Wait to hear my next answer. It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I'm waiting. But we have the potential. We have the library! No one can deny that Nintendo has the best gaming library in terms of exclusive first-party titles. It is indisputable. All right? Why aren't we using them all? Part of it is timing, sure. Part of it is, hey, we needed to get our big franchises out, like Mario, like Zelda, like Smash Brothers. Totally get it. We're winning. We're dominating. We're going to be dominating for another 4 years. Here's the other half of the list. Let's get started. You know, I'll call Sega for the Yakuza guy and go, dude, we're going to make another F-Zero game. Get your butt over here. You know? And hey, I'm not afraid to go and not delegate, but say, hey, our Nintendo team's pure. They could work on, like, the next Donkey Kong title. You know, Retro's working on Metroid. That's fine. Let's have someone else work on Donkey Kong. Let's find a brand new team to do something like Star Fox. Yeah, let's have someone else work on Star Fox. Let's have someone else, you know, work on F-Zero, if it has to be Capcom or Sega or whoever. I don't care. I just want someone to work on this thing. Let's call the team behind Fast RMX. They can work on F-Zero.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's a good idea.
Call them up, get them on it, let's get cranking, and then maybe if we're lucky in a year or so, because again, we're president right now, right? We're president right now. So 2022 at E3, we could start saying, what's coming up in the next few years for the Switch? Here you go. Then bam, F-Zero teaser. Bam, Donkey Kong teaser. Bam, lost a train of thought. Donkey Kong teaser. Did I say Donkey Kong?
Yeah, you did, but I agree. Another Donkey Kong teaser. Two Donkey Kong teasers.
Why not? Donkey Kong Country, Donkey Kong Racing. Or Diddy Kong Racing.
Diddy Kong Racing, yeah.
Whatever. So, you know, two of those. F-Zero, Star Fox, Golden Sun. Let's do it. What's We have no excuse. There is no excuse. Get it done. Ice Climbers. All right, Tyler, last one. One last round.
Okay, one last round. But I do have, like, four that I'm going to want to, like, rapid read. So, like, we'll each do one more, and then I'll hit you with the last one is...
Oh boy.
When you lose a Splatfest, you receive a Splatfest loser shirt that you have to wear for an entire week.
You know, that would apply to you when you lost at the Money versus Pop.
So for example, since Will lost this last Splatfest, he would have to wear a Splatfest loser shirt. And
that would also apply for you when Money versus Love. That would also go for you for that history. So yes, that would also apply to you.
No, your inkling, though, like, you know how, like, they have, like, that, like, kind of confident smirk? Like, instead, they kind of have, like, droopy shoulders and, like a sad face when they're playing for the entire week. And you have to wear it. You can't take it off. The shirt is stuck on your character.
Who's petty now?
That was my third answer.
All right, just so we can get it over with, what's your rapid fire?
All right, so when Peach is playable, Daisy must always be playable as well. We don't announce games that aren't scheduled to be released within the year. We're buying Rare back from Microsoft.
Yeah!
These are all serious ones, by the way, the joke ones with the ones that I wanted to read. And finally, and most importantly, this is the most important one, all Nintendo podcasts, save for the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, the greatest Nintendo podcast on the internet, are hereby copyright striked. Triforce Todd's title of host is hereby revoked, and Will is banned from discussing Honey Pop 2 on air.
Oh God!
You said it, not me. You said it. You said that word.
I'm not banned from it. You're the one who's banned from it. That's
you said
it.
Title. I did not. It did not come from my mouth. You said that title, not me.
It's true. We never actually said the title of the game in this podcast.
No, I feel like you'd be on my side if I didn't revoke your your title of host. But my failed internet coup. This is my only chance to.
Hold on. Technically, this is your second failed internet coup. Remember, on the one on Twitter.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Okay, so we failed, but we learned a lot.
It turns out we didn't learn a lot.
All right, Will. Before I allow you to go kill Tyler for his blasphemy on your favorite games, please regale us with your final executive order.
Man, for my third executive order, man, there's just so much I can probably do. Perhaps I should go and say ban Tyler from ever doing blasphemous things again, but I digress.
Uh-huh.
That's just petty. It's sad. It's sad to see you stoop so low.
But if anything else, if there's gonna be a third executive order, is that basically let's just bring back like how I'll just tell you to the Thor, how we bring back the Attitude Era of Nintendo once again. How about let's go and bring back Super Mario Strikers Charge 3 or something of that sort? Because there is just something great about seeing Waluigi doing the D-Generation X move of that moment. It's just, and of course, see all these characters just being so out of character, but just so edgy at the same time, so cool. I'm sorry, Super Mario Strikers Charge will forever have a special place in my heart. And let's just go make Super Mario Strikers 3. It's just because it's just perfect. So, like, yeah, just basically, we're going to Nintendo IP, just let them do what they want. Just even if it means breaking out the whole family image, just for like maybe one game, just for one game. Like, break that family image and just have that whole edgy concept once again. Bring that Attitude Era of Nintendo once again. Like, yeah, for Super Mario Strikers Charge 3. I mean, heck, who wouldn't like to see, like, Mario being a little bit more aggressive against Bowser? And heck, we always seen Bowser with a mega... God Slayer Bowser in Bowser's Fury. So why not go a bit more edge to it? Yeah, let's put a bit more edgy to it. So, yeah, that would be probably be my next that third executive order. Like, yeah, just a bit more attitude error. And of course, Yoshi, like, have you seen Yoshi being so angry, so angrily so cute? Yeah, let's bring that back.
Good answer.
All right, so my final one. I'm actually, I'm a little disappointed in Tyler.
I can't believe I stole your idea with the Splatfest loser shirt. I knew you were going to say that too.
No, sorry. No, I'm actually, as president, I know that I actually have to have real ideas and, you know, real good, unbiased ideas. And this is why I'm disappointed in you, Tyler, because there was an idea. There was an executive order out there that was ripe for the picking, that was right there. I even teased it a little bit in my first party suggestions. And it's, we need Mother 3 localized.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's so
that's
true.
That's a good one.
Like, it's right, it's been asked for how long? We have Lucas in Smash Brothers, and they made a freaking Robot Chicken sketch about Reggie Fils-Aimé igniting a guy for asking about Mother 3. Okay? Like, where is it? You have literally no excuse. Now, I'm not going to be so bold as to say Mother 4, but we do need Mother 3 localized. It's the perfect time. The Switch is the perfect console. You know, a slight little update, not unlike Link's Awakening for the Switch. You know, do that. Make people happy. And then finally, Reggie can have some peace. Because we all know that his retirement is a lie because he just wanted to get away from the Mother 3 and Star Fox questions. But there you go. Just free Reggie from the burden of all the Mother 3 questions for life. All right, that is my executive order. Make it so.
That's a good one. Good answer. Yes. I think we all are creating a better world as executive chief, chief executive chairman, supreme executive chairman, I think is what I want to settle on.
Supreme chancellor. Yeah. It's like, and we shall reform this Nintendo company into the first galactic Nintendo empire.
And that is how liberty dies.
With thunderous Nintendo applause and a screaming toad. Alright, so with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you, what are you most excited about in the new Pokemon Snap? And 25% of you said finding Pokemon in nature, 25% said finding the Easter eggs, and 50% said you're just excited for a new game.
Nothing wrong with it. So for this week, we're going to keep it pretty simple. Which one of us would make the best Nintendo Supreme Chancellor?
Yeah.
Show us where your real loyalty lies. Now, let's do what we did for our Nintendo drafts and pick one of our executive orders to go to fan vote. Because it is the will of the people, right?
Yes.
All right, so for mine, it would be... I'm going to pick the first party one because I think the third one's too hard to explain. So for mine, it will be the first continue utilizing first party Nintendo library. Will, I bet you're going to say Skies of Arcadia.
I was actually going to kind of suggest that, but I'm going to go be the better man and actually go for improve online internet structure.
Better Nintendo internet.
Gotcha.
And then, let's see, Tyler, you're probably going to go with the Splatfest shirt, aren't you?
I do like the Splatfest shirt idea. That's tough to explain in a tweet, though. I might go with, like, the looser Mario restrictions.
That's fair.
But which one do I want the most? No doubt the Splatfest loser shirt.
Of course, the irony is that, you know, you'd have to wear it yourself when you lose, Tyler.
Well, I'm the chief executive chairman, so supreme executive chairman. So it doesn't apply to me. I'm too busy to play video games. I'm running the company.
Nintendo, if you're listening to this, please bring back Money versus Love so we can finally shut Tyler up with this thing, please. Yes.
They are so afraid to do that. They are scared about it. They don't want to do it because they know what happened last time.
They know what happened. Just remember, when it tallies up and shows that we win, you're not going to be able to shout, stop the splat count. All right? So go and vote for whatever of our executive orders you personally would love to see enacted by Nintendo. And we'll let you know the results next week. And of course, let us know what you thought about the Splatfest that Team Mushroom won. What do you think about the latest Faye banner? Are you surprised that Pikmin 3 Deluxe is doing so well in Japan? Can we really trust Hideki Kamiya in his statements that we'll learn more in 2021 about Bayonetta 3 and other things? I'm pretty sure you know the answer to that, but tell us anyway. And we'll see you next week. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag!